It is 1:34 p.m., May 8, 2017. We are continuing the formal hearing of OPA PA 17-001, Cortic International Corp. versus Department of Public Works.
Yes, before we got on record, the appellant had disclosed that there was a slight numbering error in the Bates numbering on some of the exhibits, which we haven't reviewed yet, and they requested to fix that. I allowed them to, and my understanding is that all the binders have got those corrections. Is that true, Ms. Tang?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Is that true, Mr. Keeler? Is there anything else I needed to add about that?
No, that is correct.
So we were in the midst of Mr. Keeler's cross-examination of Mr. Benavente. Mr. Benavente, I'm going to remind you that you're still under oath. And Mr. Keeler, your witness.
Mr. Benavente, just prior to our break, you had pointed out three sections in Chapter 58E that provided four payments. Is that correct?
For payments?
Maintenance.
Oh, maintenance.
Sure.
What page is that?
I think he was making a rhetorical question. That, and he wasn't asking you to cite him.
Okay.
Yeah. Just summarizing your prior testimony.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Okay. You cited the three sections that contained
the
word
maintenance. Yes, it started with four.
And as we noted, that seems to contradict 58E109, which states that maintenance shall not be considered part, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now could you please take a look at CT123?
Okay.
Okay, and if you can look at the second paragraph, in 58E100, where it recites that the legislature finds that Guam DOE is about $90 million behind on maintenance projects. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Based on your earlier testimony and this information, do you have an opinion as to whether or not maintenance should be part of the RFP for 58E.
Objection, relevance.
Ms. Tang?
The law provides for what is going to be included in the procurement. His opinion is irrelevant. Lack of foundation.
Mr. Keeler?
Foundation has been made. His opinion is entirely relevant since he's one who's preparing the RFP.
Objection, he's not the legislature. Lack
of foundation. I'm going to overrule the objection. Please proceed, Mr. Keeler.
Mr. Benavente, do you have an opinion as to whether or not maintenance should be part of the second RFP for Chapter 58E?
Yes. I feel strongly that it should be included. We have issues that in construction. Recently, I was invited by the Board of Education to regarding San Luis Sanchez High School and other issues, and a litany of maintenance issues was brought up. The same story was brought up, for example, with Southern High School. Maintenance has always been an area that has been poorly handled, lack of funding, lack of whatever, but maintenance has always been a big issue with DOE's operations of the school facilities.
Is it fair to say that the Department of Public Works would like to assist DOE with its maintenance?
Absolutely. Yes.
And just for clarification, if I may, Mr. Keeler, when you say maintenance, they're not talking about janitorial maintenance. We're talking about like the air conditioners, the tiling, the roofs leaking, and all that type of thing. Right? Was that what they were referring to? No, it's more capital maintenance.
Well,
or replacement.
All the maintenance, because even the daily operations, you know, lack of funding always impacts that. So it was more everything was maintenance related.
Oh, okay. All inclusive then.
Yes.
Operating day-to-day janitorial maintenance as well as maintenance of the facility.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Benavente, DPW has agreed to amend and reissue the current RFP and limit it to 58D only, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and will the financing for that RFP be limited to the authorization that's contained in that legislation?
Yes.
When you prepare a separate RFP for 58E, will the financing in that also be limited to the specific authorization that's contained in the legislation?
Yes.
No further questions.
Ms. Tan, your witness for redirect.
Thank you. Mr. Benavente, is there anything that prevents DPW from preparing a program study now?
We don't have the capability to prepare a program study now.
Capability or funding? How about funding?
Including expertise and funding.
And so who is DPW relying on to prepare the program study?
It would be prepared by, it would be the same as the comprehensive plan. That would be part of the deliverable of the offerer.
The awardee of this procurement.
Yes.
Right. Now, earlier you testified, right before we broke for lunch, that if there's any money remaining from this procurement after completing Simon Sanchez, that the remaining amounts, if any, would be used for GW. Is that correct?
In the original package, yes.
And I'm just asking if that was your testimony before we broke for lunch.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how does DPW intend to issue a separate RFP for GW?
The original plan was through a task order.
And the task order would be for this procurement, this one that's January 2017, correct?
Yes, after receipt of the CCIP, yes, it would be
right.
A task order.
Okay. Now, you testified and you agreed that DPW agreed that it would issue two procurements, one RFP for 58D, one RFP for 58E, correct?
Correct.
So how do you think you're going to issue a task order for 58 for GW, which is covered under 58E, in this procurement, the January 2017 procurement?
Could you repeat that again, please? I'm sorry. So what's going on in my head is we have layers of stages of 58 of 56, right? RFP 56, which is the one that
the January 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have, in my mind, cut out a couple of things in there.
Right.
The two things that you, so I'm thinking about that right now because that's where I am moving forward. Even though we're not final on that. So when you ask about the situation in the existing 56, I have to stop and think a little bit of where I am in the in a timeline.
Yeah, let me break things down. Okay. Simplify my question. I'll break it up in maybe two questions. Okay. And before lunch, you testified that any remaining balance from this procurement, January 2017 procurement for Simon Sanchez, would be made available for GW, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then my question to you is, how did you intend to do that? You said we'll be issuing a task order. My question now is, would that be, that task order will be issued pursuant to the January 2017 RFP, and how would you manage to do that? How can you do that? What authority do you have to issue work that's covered under 58E under this January 2017 procurement?
Well, the authority that's in the as described, well, the authority that allowed the RFP to proceed.
I beg your pardon?
The authority that allowed the RFP to proceed.
Are you talking about enabling legislation?
And its underlying layers of other GovWOM requirements.
Okay, so I'm asking specifically about what authority do you have? Can you point to that allows you to take a procurement that's covered under 58E and put it into the January 2017 procurement? Especially when you've just represented to everybody in this room, especially the public auditor who's asked you no less than twice today whether you're splitting it. And you said, yes, I'm splitting it. But I'm not conceding you. I think your position is that they have to be split. I'm just saying I'm going to split it without conceding the legal issue. Am I correct?
That's correct.
All right. So now you're going to, my understanding from your testimony is now you're going to take a piece of 5080, which is GW, and put it into the January 2017 procurement, correct?
Objection.
Mr. Keeler?
That is not his testimony. He stated that George Washington would be included in 58E. He said he would limit 58D to Simon Sanchez and development of a CCIP. That's his testimony.
All right.
That's not, unfortunately, that's not my understanding of his testimony. I specifically asked him. He's using the money from 58D for GW.
Okay,
he said he's going to issue a task order.
Okay,
on
but
58D.
That's as the RFP is written. That was the plan.
Okay.
That's my understanding of his testimony.
Going forward.
All
right.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
All right,
please.
Mr. Benaventi. Thank you. Mr. Benaventi, moving forward, is it still DPW's intention to issue a task order under 58D, this procurement for GW, from the remaining funds?
We've stated that we're going to amend the RFP, and that will not be an option anymore, because the amended RFP, the amended 56 RFP, will not include 58E.
Okay, so you're going to exclude GW.
So we'll exclude everything in 58, allowed by 58E.
Okay, so I just want clarification.
In the amendment.
In my mind.
It hasn't been amended yet.
Okay. This morning you testified that the remaining funds would be used. So you were talking in the past, not
of
the future.
Unamended 56, yes.
Okay. And I misunderstood. Let's go back to the maintenance issue. So I'd like to direct your attention to CT-122, please. I'm sorry, 125. This is 58E, and I like you to focus on subsection 58E101, subsection B, in the middle of the page.
Okay.
All right. And in this section, it defines the contract that's to be awarded under 58E, correct?
Yes.
And am I not correct that the word maintenance is not included in the scope of this contract?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go to page CT-128, please. So focusing on subsection of section 58E-104, line 1 through 15, agree that the word maintenance is not covered under the responsibilities of the developer and contractor, or contractor, correct?
You say 1 through 15?
Yeah, 9 through 15, excuse me.
9 through 15.
It says rehabilitation, design, civil improvements, on-site and off-site infrastructure, construction permits, and financing associated with the completion of an education facility. So do you agree that maintenance is not included in the responsibility of the developer and contractor?
In this iteration, that's correct, yes.
Right. Then I also ask you to go a little further down on lines 25 to 26. It says the capital maintenance cost shall be paid by education agency, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know we've gone over the section here a few times today. I'm on page 132, section 58E-109. The heading, the specific heading, is utilities, maintenance, and repair, correct?
Yes.
So do you agree?
And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. 132, CT-132. And the section begins at the bottom of 26. The heading is utilities, maintenance, and repair. So do you agree that this section governs maintenance with respect to 58E?
That's what it says.
Specifically, maintenance, correct?
That's what it says, yes.
Okay. And that is the agency, DOE, is responsible. Right?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Beneventi, has there been any consideration giving about issuing a separate RFP for insurance and maintenance for the 34 schools?
No.
Has there been any discussion at all?
Not that I can remember. We would leave that up to Gita. Separate RFP was what you asked?
Mm-hmm.
No.
How about just the procuring of insurance and maintenance for the 34 schools? Because it's been raised in our papers. So, you mean no one's ever discussed it? Other than with council, of course. I mean, within your...
Objection.
Mr. Keeler?
It's been two or three straight questions concerning the same subject. It's already been answered.
It's my last question.
I'm going to give her a little leeway. Mr. Keeler overruled. Please proceed.
No.
None at all.
Not that I can remember.
Thank you.
Mr. Keeler, any recross?
Yeah. Mr. Benavente, when you're asked to look at certain sections of Chapter 58E, you keep changing your answers. So what I would like you to do, take your time, if needed, to review 58E, but tell the OPA whether or not you believe maintenance is covered by 58E.
Yes, under that, what we discussed before we broke the OR section of the law. It says OR maintenance.
No further questions.
Mr. Benavente, I have several questions. I want to make sure, because this has been, pardon the expression, clear as mud from my perspective at this point. Let me just go back at the beginning. You mentioned that this is a three-part team, you know, because to include DOE, GITA, and yourself. So in this three-part team, who is the lead agency on this procurement?
Well, let me say first that it's a five-part team, then a three-part team. It's a five-part selection committee comprised of GITA, Public Works, EPA, Land Management, and DOE, chaired by the superintendent by law. After the results and the determination is made, it goes to the negotiation committee.
When you say that five-part team, that's for the selection.
Correct. So I just wanted to
reference. Okay, thank you.
Then it goes to a negotiation committee. And that's comprised of GITA, Public Works, and DOE. There's no chairman listed in the public law. So that's the negotiation committee.
So in that
With legal counsel.
When it comes to the negotiation, so there is no lead agency? DPW is just a member of the team?
That's correct.
And so this three, so
if there's going to be questions on financing, there's going to be issues of the uses, that would be DOE. The financing part of the negotiation would be handled by GITA, and the construction part of it would be Public Works. So the negotiation kind of moves forward with those things being brought up by different agencies.
So are you the chief procurement officer for this, if it's a three-member team? Should DOE be the chief procurement officer as well, a co-chief? And should GITA be a co-chief? I mean, if you're saying that, so let me rephrase my question. Are you the chief procurement officer for this procurement?
Well, the law says procure through Public Works. So, yes.
The concern I have is ensuring that all the things, who's going to check, who is going to be ultimately responsible for ensuring that the rules and regulations, all the necessary documentation and so on is going to be done if it's a three-member team?
Well, GITA would have their legal counsel review their responses and their issues.
And so that won't be part of the procurement record?
Yes, it would be.
So whose responsibility would it be to ensure that that becomes part of the procurement record?
Well, as the procurement officer, I would get those documents and make it a part of the procurement.
But you just said it's a three-member team. So are you the chief procurement officer for this? I'm just trying to.
Yes, that's what.
Because you're saying no, it's a three-member team. Then sometimes, depending, you're saying, well, maybe I am the.
No. I am the procurement officer, but I don't make the decision.
During negotiations,
my focus would be on the construction part of the negotiations. Then GITA would focus on the financing part, and DOE would focus on the needs of the school.
So who's going to focus on the costs?
The initial focus would be by GITA, and then there would be joint acceptance or rejection or continued communications and acceptance and determination that this is the best value.
Who's going to decide the bottom line of this, of what Simon's Conscious is going to cost?
It would be a joint determination, a tripartite determination, because the negotiating committee is like that, and we will have to sign off on it. Remember now that this is not just construction. This is construction. This is design, build, finance, maintain. So there are many times I've seen that there's a mistaken notion that is, how much is it going to cost to construct Simon Sartis High School? It's not just to construct Simon Sartis High School. It's to design Simon Sartis High School, construct Simon Sartis High School, find your own financing to do it, and maintain it for 30 years. That's the whole package. So it's not the lowest cost for the building.
But again, overall, responsibility is to make sure that the entire procurement, whether it be from financing to design, and I gather that maybe certain people might be more in tune, but who overall is going to make sure that it's all housed in one particular area, and where will it be housed? The documentation.
Well, Public Works has become the central. I'm the only one here. Gita's not here. DOE's not here. Public Works has become the focus of this procurement. So, we will be housing all the documents that will emanate from this procurement. But again, I say that the final negotiation. Determinations are going to be signed off by those three agencies that the law says you shall be the negotiation committee.
So is it fair to say you don't view DPW as the lead agency?
We are the lead agency for procuring the requirements of the deliverables of this public law. Yes, we are. But we would need input from the other two agencies, as well as our people for construction.
Okay. All right. So.
That's how the law sets it up, Madam. This is not typically a situation that we're used to, but this is how it's set up.
So, for this these two RFPs, DPW will assume the role of lead agency?
We prepare the RFP with input from the committee comprised of the committee set up by law, yes.
But are you the lead agency?
To prepare the RFP?
No, on this procurement.
Yes.
You are the lead agency.
That's what the law says. And
I'm not trying to split hairs here. I just want to know who's in charge.
DPW.
Is in charge overall.
Yes.
Thank you. If I may, I'm a little bit confused as to what should be in the CCIP. And I guess if we were to turn to page 125, there's that definition. And then earlier there was some discussion about the term program study. Mm-hmm. So in your own words, as we look at this, how will the CCIP be developed? And who will be the lead in the development of that? If 58D is Simon Sanchez, how will the CC, because it's in 58D also, mm-hmm. It is in 58D, mm-hmm. as well as, I mean, the two, the same definition is in both laws.
Yes.
Okay, so under the amended RFP that you're proposing, where you're going to take 58E out, where will the CCIP be? In which RFP? Under D, under E, D, or under
D? Well, in the amended
that you're proposing, and I understand there's still going to be, you know, but just, but this was part of
mm-hmm.
the appeal process.
Mm-hmm. It would be in D.
In D.
Mm-hmm.
So, to develop the CCIP.
Yes.
So the contractor or whoever is awarded that will not only have the responsibility, as you said, to design, construct, and maintain Simon Sanchez, but will also provide a CCIP plan. Is that your understanding?
Yes. Actually, it does say in 58D103 under definitions.
Yes, that's why I said it. It's both in D and in E, and that's why I wanted to kind of
mm-hmm.
what this amended RFP is going to look like. And to repeat what I just heard you say, the CCIP is going to be in the, will stay in the amended RFP.
Yes.
So if we fast forward to a couple of other pages, 127, we hear the words program study.
Mm-hmm.
That's on page 127 under 103, as well as and above on page 128.
Yes.
So what's in your mind, okay, what is going to be in a program study? Are they going to be synonymous? Are they going to be different?
It's going to be synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty much synonymous. When we discovered a bill that never became law that came about around this time, and I think it was included in one of our stipulations or offers that defined that. So it's pretty much the same thing, program study, CCIP, reference to the Corps of Engineers study. So
again, to repeat, what is the program study?
Program study is identification of issues with each school regarding roofing, electrical, mechanical, based on enrollment patterns, pretty much as described in the comprehensive capital improvement plan. And to include, I think, busing, I saw somewhere here. So the offerer will give us this assessment of all the schools that need to be, you know, 34 or 35 of them, and will be review and rate it, and will be reviewed by DOE, and that will be DOE's guide or roadmap for maintenance, and which ones will go first, second, or any kind of priority that DOE will determine based on that capital improvement plan prepared by an expert in that line of work.
And then that would be the basis for the second RFP?
Yes.
So we may not see that second RFP for some time.
We don't think second RFP? No.
Because you need the CCIP first, correct?
It wouldn't take long to do the CCIP. We're thinking maybe the CCIP could be prepared in 4, 5, 6 months. At the most, there's a lot of information already there using the Corps of Engineers DOI report. Even though it does only have a couple pages in there, I think it's like more of a summary report. But yeah, it shouldn't take that long to put that together.
So again, just because of that was the wording, the program study what is the program study? Let me ask you from the
program study is the same as the capital improvement study.
Okay. That's your that's how you plan to proceed.
Yes. With some tweaks in there, yes.
And just one more. And then to re-emphasize, or to repeat rather, the second RFP, as the lead agency, it is your intent to include capital maintenance and any other form of maintenance in as part of the scope of work for the second RFP.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Thank you very much.
May I ask a follow-up?
Well, yeah. You can ask your follow-up question, Ms. Fain.
All right, thank you. Mr. Beneventi, following up on the question regarding the program study, is it possible to issue a separate, the second RFP in two phases, phase one being the program study, after its completion, you go to phase two, which is bidding out the work. Is that something that's doable? Almost like a design build, you know?
It really makes no sense since we already would have in our hands the capital improvement plan.
Okay, so let's call it a capital improvement plan for, if that's what you want to call it. Okay, let's say, can we structure it so that Simon Sanchez 58D stands on its own, doesn't have any issues with respect to program studies, CCRPs, whatever, for the 34 schools. You have RFP number two, just the 34 schools. Phase one, get the CCIP/program study done. And then once that's done, then you do go to the next phase of basically bidding it out. So why couldn't it be done that way?
I have to go back to the 58D authorizes that CCIP be procured with Simon Sanchez. So that's the plan to pay for another plan when we let out an RFP for 58E would not seem to be a very smart use of money when you already have the plan in front of you.
Okay. That's your opinion.
That's correct.
And then the last question that was asked about the whether you intend to include capital maintenance in the scope for the second RFP, is your intention, or DPW's intention, to include insurance for 34 schools in the scope for the second RFP?
We don't know. I'm thinking about insurance. That would need to be discussed with our finance partners in this procurement, which would be GITA. I have no expertise in that subject matter.
So are you familiar with what a triple net lease is?
No.
Okay. That includes tax, insurance, and maintenance. That's what the bond, the funding source would require, a triple net lease. So if you're going to...
I don't know that.
My question
because it's
is,
not a bond.
If part, how do you think 58E is going to get funded?
It's identified there in the law, and GITA would be the one to handle that part of the procurement.
Okay. So if an amount is identified, because DOI has, Department of Interior's report says it's upwards of $90 million, right?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
So when it was prepared back then, yes.
Right. So it's probably higher now. Well, actually,
could be less because they finished on the line.
Okay. So it's going to be at least in the tens of millions, easily over 50, correct?
Could be. We'll have to see what the numbers come back.
So that, where would that kind of money come from?
It's identified in the law.
Okay.
And
what is your understanding?
I don't really want to go too much into financing here. I would need to defer to the team member on the team, and that would be Gita. I would defer to their.
But it's going to be a leaseback arrangement, just like Simon Sanchez, right?
That's.
And you're going to go to the market for the fund, the awardee. The use of tax exempt bond, section 58E108, correct?
That would be a Gita question to answer.
Bottom line is you've got to insure. You will need to insure the 34 schools if you're going to get a tax exemption.
I would defer
to
Gita.
Is that correct?
I would defer to Gita.
Do you have an opinion?
Objection.
Mr. Keeler?
Once again, it's asked repetitively. Mr. Benavente has stated that's not his expertise. He would rely on Gita. It's been asked any number of times.
Ms. Tang?
He's the chief procurement officer. He read this statute numerous times. There's a section that says tax-exempt bond.
But how many times do you have to get him to say, I don't know, or it's not my area of expertise? I'm going to sustain the objection. Please move on.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, Mr. Keeler, do you have any follow-up questions?
No further questions.
All right. So, Mr. Benavente, I'm going to excuse you as a witness, but I have to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any third parties here until these proceedings have concluded. You understand that?
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Ms. Tang, you may call your next witness.
I don't think we have anyone else. I think.
Do you rest?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So the appellant rests. Mr. Keeler, we're in case in chief. We're going to take a brief 10-minute break, and then we'll come back for Mr. Keeler's case in chief. Okay. Who are you going to call for your witness?
Mr. Ho.
Mr. Ho. Okay. So when we come back, we will start with Mr. Ho's testimony. All right. Thank you. We're off the record.
It is 2:26 p.m., May 8, 2017. We are continuing the formal hearing of OPA PA 17-001, Cortec International versus Department of Public Works.
Yeah, before the break, the appellant had rested. Mr. Keeler called his first witness. Mr. Ho, has taken the stand. I ask that the witness be sworn. Mr. Ho, I'm also going to ask that you leave your electronic device at your table. There you go. Thank you, Mr. Ho.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Ho.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Keeler, your witness.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ho.
Good afternoon, sir.
Could you please tell us your educational background?
I majored in political science in college and grad school, majored in political philosophy.
Okay, and where were those colleges and graduate schools?
Seoul.
Okay. And you're experienced in construction, correct?
Yes, construction and development and finance.
Can you just give us a general background as to that experience?
Oh, I started a construction career in 1991. We have built numerous residential projects and commercial projects, and we expand to the government of Guam and federal government projects. And throughout the career, we decided to participate as a developer. So we became a developer for a long time ago. And we established our financing arm to finance the project as a turnkey or partially turnkey. After that, the other investors will come in and do the takeout financing, and so we can complete the project on time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
CoreTech filed a protest on the current procurement on February 8th, 2017. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you familiar with the contents of that protest?
Yes, to a certain degree, yes.
Okay, did you review it prior to it being issued?
I scanned through.
Okay. And there were two grounds for the protest?
Yes, sir.
Okay, one of those was that valuation should be contained in the evaluation for the selection of contractor?
Yes, sir.
Objection, but misstates the ground's best value should be included in evaluation, not valuation.
Okay. Well, this is just a background question. I'll let you rephrase the question, Mr. Keeler.
Was one of the grounds that the RFP does not include an evaluation factor in the offeror's prices?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us whether or not the government has agreed to include valuation in the consideration?
After we filed a protest at agency level, yes, DPW changed.
Okay. The second item that was contained in the protest was that CoreTech wanted chapters 58D and 58E to be completely separate RFPs. Is that correct?
Objection misstates the basis of the protest.
Mr. Keel?
I think that's exactly what it says. They wanted two separate RFPs.
Okay. I'm going to overrule the objection. Mr. O can answer that how he wants. Okay.
Please.
The way I understood, the program study or CCIP needs to be completed before issuing the remaining schools' RFP. I think that was the point.
Okay. Can you advise us whether or not the government has agreed to issue two separate RFPs?
I believe government already agreed.
Thank you. Now, you referenced the program study. What is the purpose of the program study, according to your understanding?
I don't think I can answer precisely. Basically, it's just a requirement by the law that has to be done to assess the needs of the schools. But I can't really tell the clear difference between CCIP and program study yet.
It's somewhat confusing to you, is that correct?
The scope of work is not clear.
Would you expect items such as the physical condition of each school to be included in the program study or CCIP?
I assume that, yes.
And would you assume also that the area population and number of students to attend the school would also be considered a factor?
I think so.
And would you also assume the CCIP or program study to prioritize schools from the ones that desperately need repairs to the ones that are in pretty good condition or at least better condition?
I think the program study or CCIP will probably recommend how to prioritize the projects.
Okay.
Have you reviewed a CCIP or program study?
No.
Okay, and obviously because none's been prepared, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is it possible upon receipt of the CCIP or program study that CORTEC would not have any objections to it?
Objection to?
What's contained in the CCIP or program study?
I don't think we, CORTEC, challenged the contents of CCIP or program study.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Ms. Fang? Okay.
Mr. Ho?
Yes.
There were a lot of discussion today about 58E, right?
Yes.
And what is your understanding as to whether the insurance and maintenance should be included in 58E procurement?
The way I read, it's quite clear the insurance and maintenance are not part of the 58E.
Why is that?
It is a big impact to government of Guam because 58D is so specific to build Simon Sanchez High School. So obviously, when they float a bond, well, Mr. Benavente believed that it might not be a bond, but as a financier, it needs to be a bond financing because the bank will not finance 100% of the project. They usually finance up to 75%, and 25% has to be on equity, and this is not the case. And second, this is important. It has to be not only funded 100% of the cost.
This is 58E for the 34th.
We're talking about 58D for the Simon Sanchez. Because so let's say just pick the number, $60 million to fix the Simon Sanchez. And Governor Guam will not put 25% of $60 million as a part of the equity. So they need to have $60 million. So bank will not do that. And not only that, bank will ask for debt service ratio, debt service coverage. So they will not fund 100%. So it has to be a bond financing. So I believe, the way I understand, the legislature did a very good job to identify the difference between brand new school, such as Simon Sanchez, and the other 34 school for just minor repair. Let's say the cost of 34 schools repair cost, upkeep cost, let's say $20 million. It could have been $90 million, but let's just pick the number. And somebody has to finance that. But what if the financier require the insurance and maintenance of the school? Simply speaking, the total value of the current 34 schools could be around $300 million. But yet, the government of Guam will spend only $20 million or $30 million, just a fraction of the total current value of the properties. Then government of Guam is forced to pay 1% for insurance value and insurance cost, and then 1.5% at least for the maintenance cost. And if we calculate $300 million value, then you're looking at $7.5 million every year for times 30 years. Then you have to, government of Guam has to pay $210+ million for no reason. It doesn't make any sense. I believe that's why legislature carve out, remove the insurance and maintenance clause from 58E. not like 58D. And I believe the current RFP required insurance and maintenance for 34 schools. I think, in my perspective, it's almost financial suicide.
For the government.
For the government. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Could I just, if I could interject, then if it's a brand new school, to have insurance and maintenance as an ongoing is one thing. But what I heard you say is phase two, or the second RFP, is really just to fix those major schools, and then it will be up to the government of Guam how they want to maintain them.
If I'm going to build a brand new house,
yeah,
and I spend $200,000 to build a house, and bank will definitely ask for insurance coverage, same amount. But if I'm going to just replace the window, and then they come and ask us, you need to maintain this entire house, not only window, for 30 years, and then you need to buy a separate insurance. I don't care, the government of Guam, you can do self-insure. No, you cannot do that, because you use our money, portion of it, to replace your window, and I'm going to demand. I think that's what they tried, the government of Guam, or legislature tried to protect government of Guam from that happening. That's why law is quite clear. So financial standpoint, they need to underwrite their risk and make a decision what interest rate they're going to charge, or whether they're going to finance it or not, based upon current law. But if you surrender, you know, if you're going to handle the insurance maintenance for not only insurance, I mean, not only the window or aircon, but the entire structure, that'll cost Governor Obama a lot of money.
Going back, though, going back to the to maintain the schools, earlier we heard Mr. Benaventi say that probably the biggest one is GW. We don't know the other what the other schools are going to cost, but he used the range $20-some million.
Yes, ma'am.
For that amount of money, in your opinion, okay, should the government have like what they do now, like with TGen, which you're involved in, should the government of Guam have insurance and maintenance on that school if you're going to make that major an investment?
I agree with you. In other words, a big chunk of money will go into the certain project or building, and the total value versus invested amount, if the ratio is tremendous or majority, then definitely makes perfect sense. But let's say one elementary school, let's say 600 elementary school campus, the total value is only $10 million. And then the repair cost is only about $300,000. Then,
it's better for Guam to be self-insured.
Self-insured, yeah. Yes.
Okay. And that's the unknown. We don't know the extent.
But in the current RFP, basically require the bidder or proposer to include that coverage when we are really focusing on Simon Sanchez. And the way I am not an attorney, but when I read the 58E, clearly it's not part of the section.
So let me ask you this hypothetically, okay? And of course, you have been a major player in a lot of construction projects for the government of Guam. What would you advise the government of Guam to do? The Department of Education and DPW, if they were to solicit your information or ask, now that we've seen all of this, and again, this is a hypothetical, but I hope you, what advice or suggestions, you know, would you offer to the government of Guam and as the best avenue or a better avenue to fix the remaining schools? Because we already know what Simon, I think Simon is clear, it's the remaining.
Yes. We've been involved on the federal contract for long years, and I think we're the largest when it comes to federal contracts. They changed the methodology. Before, it was simply design, build, RFP. They are using two steps, very similar to Guam Power Authority and GWA from time to time. They specify the scope and qualify the developer or contractor. After that, the competition is simply price-driven. Because as a bidder, when we bid, and if the scope is not clear, then we need to assume the certain risk. And every time when we assume the risk, price will go up. And we're not a gambler, because you know, we go by the number and activities. So if it's not clear, then price will go up. So with that said, I think it is so important that Governor Guam, or even any owner, specify the scope of service. Then everybody understands clearly. We know what we are bidding for. Then it'll be much clearer and easier and very cost effective.
Would the proposed CCIP outline that scope of service?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
That's not what I envisioned. Long time ago, I read some of the report from Navy and Department of Interior. That was just a guesstimate based upon square footage. And that type of report shouldn't even take more than 2 to 3 weeks. So that level of service will actually confuse more people. And I understand that CCIP, partly they're talking about the facility, and second, educational priority, depends on number of students, enrollment. So it's not only a facility issue. And I don't really believe that DPW will spend that much money for CCIP developer who put that package together, will identify what will be part of each task order for each school. You basically open the door for the contractor. That's very risky. Very risky.
But the CCIP says, let me go back to the definition.
125?
Thank you. Means a plan that takes into the physical condition of each school, population enrollment. It shall also include how each meets the instructional needs. So is that too broad?
Too broad. I believe that is the reason why last RFP, the government of Guam was using unit cost approach, which means door frame, window, what size, how much, because it's spelled out in RS means cost data book, which is very popular in Anderson Air Force Base and even Navy, usually Anderson Air Force Base, because they don't have engineering capacity, not like Navy. So they separate it, and then they don't want to argue. Rather, they go by the book every year, and then the contractor only talk about their company's overhead. So that was the competition. But I guess this time it wasn't quite clear. They only talk about insurance and maintenance service as a part of the current RFP. It's too broad. And fundamentally, it's not in the law. And even if it's in the law, I think that's not a right move, because you open the door to financier to require so-called triple net, the lease contract, which means insurance and maintenance and tax shall be separate from base rent. Base rent covers debt service, principal and interest. The rest of them has to be taken care of by annual appropriation. Governor Guam will lose a lot of money.
So just to recap that, the as it is presently written in law, the CCIP, it's not sufficient to truly outline the scope of the work.
Absolutely not.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other follow-on questions?
Yes.
Mr. Peeler?
Mr. Ho, you stated or testified that it was very clear under Chapter 58E that maintenance was not to be required, correct?
Yes. That's how I read.
Okay. Could you please refer to CT 125?
Yes.
Okay, and the second to last line, actually it's line 23 under the definition of contractor. It specifically references renovation, rehabilitation, construction, or maintenance. Doesn't that seem to require maintenance?
I understand there are a little bit of confusion in the references, but I also saw in different section that maintenance is not spelled out.
Okay, well, we don't have to go further if you're going to agree that there is confusion in the terms versus your testimony, which was that it was very clear.
Objection, argumentative. Is there a question?
Mr. Keeler, in response?
He just stated that there was confusing language. I'm just trying to clarify.
Ask the question. It's argumentative.
Okay. Yeah, could you ask in the form of a question? I'm going to sustain the objection.
Sure.
Please proceed.
Mr. Ho, would you agree that there's confusing language in 58D or 58E as to whether or not maintenance is part of the project?
58D?
58E.
Yeah, okay, 58E. The way I understand, based upon my experience and the requirement for the financing, it does not require, it does not include insurance and maintenance. That is my understanding. And I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay. Could you please take a look at CT 126 in the top of 127? That language states the cost is to be amortized over the leaseback period. The costs associated with the design, renovation, rehabilitation, construction, or maintenance of the educational facility. Doesn't that tend to show that maintenance is to be included?
Could you please refer one more
Certainly.
Time? Yes.
It's
126?
At the very last line of CT 126.
126, okay.
And then it continues on to CT 127, the first line.
I acknowledge that it is confusing.
Thank you. Would you agree that Chapter 58E and the CCIP will prioritize the repairs needed for the remaining public schools?
I think they will prepare the report for their own recommendation. I think GDOE will finalize their selection.
Okay. But it will be a priority of this repair is more important than that repair.
That's my understanding.
Okay. And once the funding source contained in 58E is expended, there won't be any further repairs under this particular legislation. Is that correct?
objection vague?
I'm sorry, I didn't read it.
Certainly, I could have phrased it better. Okay. There's a funding source in Chapter 58E, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and it's got a certain set amount, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So once that funding source is expended, there won't be continue to be repairs made on the public schools.
But there is a confusion also. The portion of them will be taken care of by GDOE through the annual appropriation. That's what is confusing.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Ms. Dang, any recross?
No.
No? Okay. So, Mr. Ho, thank you for your testimony today. I'm just going to have to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or anybody else until these proceedings have concluded. Do you understand that? Yes, if you can please have a seat back at your table. And Mr. Keeler, do you call any other witnesses?
None.
Does the purchasing agency rest?
It does.
Closing.
Which leads to, I was going to ask. I'm shocked. Me too. Well, before I get there, how long do you think your closing argument's going to take? It's going to be longer than 15 minutes each?
Yeah, I'm going to do a 5 to 10, under 10.
Under 10?
Yeah. Wow. Let's get it done.
Multiply by 2?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, that math didn't work today.
You can clock me if you want.
Mr. Keeler, how long do you think your closing is going to take?
Not long at all.
Not long? Like how long? Half an hour long?
No. Substantially less. 10, 15 minutes.
We're going to finish today.
So we good.
Okay. All right, so do you need a break before your closings, or you want to go right into it?
Sure, we'll take a 5-minute.
Yeah, let's take a 5-minute brief 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for closing arguments.
It is 3:03 p.m., May 8, 2017. We're continuing the formal hearing of OPA PA 17-001, Cortec International versus DPW.
All right, so before we got back on the record, there was a brief discussion about the order of March in terms of we're going to proceed with closings. Ms. Tang will give her closing. Mr. Keeler will give his closing on behalf of the purchasing agency. And Ms. Tang will have a brief rebuttal thereafter. There was also discussion about the filing date for the remedies brief in this matter, and it's going to remain 5 p.m. Friday, May the 12th. So, Ms. Tang, you have the floor for your closing.
Thank you. I think this has to be the shortest OPA hearing I've ever been involved in. But, okay, so I think one of the issues that concerns us the greatest is the inclusion of maintenance and insurance in 5084 schools. You heard testimony from Mr. Beneventi, you heard testimony from Mr. Helm. And there's divergent views. The law is clear, though. I mean, there's some inconsistencies on the statute, but on the specific statutes that relate to maintenance, it's consistent and it's clear. And I direct you to 58E101, which is the definition of contract, 58E104, which has to do with the responsibility of the developer and contractor, and also 58E109, which is utilities, maintenance, and repair. And I have copies here which I will provide to the parties afterwards, would like to share, the Supreme Court has issued a decision in Seifert, Abalos versus Seifert, 2006, Guam 7. This opinion, they addressed the issue of statutory construction. When you have what seemingly appears to be inconsistent provisions, which prevail, how do you interpret it? This is nothing new. Guam courts has followed basically what is a basic statutory construction of every other jurisdiction. We follow the guideline, quoting from Avalos versus Seifried at head note 20. We follow the guideline of statutory interpretation that the more specific governs over the more general. I think it's the three sections I've cited are specific to the issue of maintenance. As to insurance, I think we can all agree that doesn't say you can insure 34 schools. Mr. Ho's testimony is particularly enlightening. And when asked by the public auditor, what's your recommendation? This is the recommendation of someone who has, you know, vast experience, 30 years of experience in the business, not just construction, but development, financing. He says, look, this RFP is not good. It's not good for Guam. Why is that? Because this is a system that has process been followed by the Navy, the military. They've ditched it. They've gone to an ITB. And the reason why it's not good is because the scope is not clear. Scope, when you have lack of clarity, you have risk. The risk means more cost. That's not good. It's not a good deal for Guam. The point is, if you allow insurance and maintenance to come in, which will be required if you're going to finance the rehabilitation of 34 schools, it'll be financial suicide if you do that. Of Guam, that is. With respect to the issue of CCIP, we've argued about whether it's program, study, or CCIP. Whatever it is, the way it's described in the statute, as Mr. Ho testified, is from a contractor's perspective, a proposer, it's not clear. And if it's not clear, what are you going to have? You're going to have the RFP issues. Lack of clarity, cost, possibly more protests, more issues. Clarity is important because we know what we're asking for. The government knows what it's asking for. The government knows what it's going to get. And it's going to get better pricing. These are all very important issues. They seem, you know, DPW does not give any credence to these concerns. But these concerns will cost the government, if not properly addressed, will cost the government tens of millions of dollars, and possibly hundreds. And it's not. That is certainly not good to Guam, for Guam. Thank you.
Mr. Keeler, your closing statement.
CORTEC initiated these proceedings with a February 8th, 2017 protest. In general, they were requesting two items: that price be considered an evaluation factor, and that the two procurements, Simon Sanchez High School and the development of a CCIP, be separate and distinct from the Chapter E RFP for the remaining 34 public schools. DPW addressed the first one in its response to the protest. With regards to the second one, it addressed that in its March 2nd, 2017 agency report. Mr. Ho, as I heard his testimony, agreed that both those items were addressed. The government does not believe there's a clear and unequivocal statement as to whether or not maintenance is required in Chapter 58E. It believes and can cite Sections 58E101C, 58E102, 58E103 as all specifically referencing maintenance. That, coupled with the second paragraph under paragraph or section 58E100, legislative findings and intent, that second paragraph referencing that the Department of Education is $90 million behind on maintenance projects tends to support a finding that maintenance should be part of the project. That is also buttressed by the Deputy Director's testimony with regards to Southern High and other schools and reports with DOE. So we just simply acknowledge that there's conflicting language in it. In the same respect, both the CCIP and the program study can be seen as conflicting language. It is the department's position, we consider it reasonable, that the CCIP is the proper one to follow. Can't recall specifically where, but there is reference that it is a roadmap for the repairs to the public schools. Further, in his testimony, Mr. Ho referenced or agreed that the CCIP or program study should address the physical condition of each school, that it should consider the area population, that it should prioritize the repairs of existing schools, and we would just simply reference you to 58E101, which defines the comprehensive capital improvement plan, and those items were taken specifically from there. So the items that Mr. Ho agreed to should be addressed are from the definition of CCIP. Just as important, CORTEC has acknowledged that they're not certain they'll object to the CCIP. It would be unreasonable to. It hasn't been drafted. It hasn't been prepared. So until that is done, there is no reasonable grounds for objecting to it. Closing, it's the department's position that it has addressed the protest that was submitted, that the additional issues that have been presented on appeal or for this hearing are unnecessary. It is not necessary to make a determination as to something that the government has already agreed to withdraw and to issue a separate RFP on. And we would again cite that the chief procurement officer has broad discretion in preparing an RFP. Thank you.
Ms. Stan, any rebuttal?
Yes. It's crystal clear to me today, as I suspected, when we were negotiating stipulation, why we couldn't reach an agreement, because they intend to include maintenance and insurance for 34 schools, even though we believe that's not allowed under 58E. And I think that if the legislature wanted to authorize the spending of 100 to 200 million for insurance, it would have done so. It certainly wouldn't have left it to the discretion of the chief procurement officer, who in this case is Mr. Beneventi, relying on 5GCA 511-5113B for his authority to basically procure whatever he thinks the department wants. It is clear also that until and unless the public auditor issues a decision, a finding on these issues, these very important issues, DPW will proceed as it has always. at its sole discretion and outside of the authorities provided in the enabling legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tang. We're going to take this matter under advisement, and we will be issuing a written decision 30 days from the conclusion of these proceedings, which will be the May 12th filing deadline for the remedies brief. Any other issues I need to take up at this time?
No.
No?
Would you like a copy? Anyone like a copy of the Seifert case? I'm happy to give everyone a copy.
Okay, we all.
And we do want to thank everyone for this very expedited hearing.
Thank you. Wouldn't make you suffer a
okay.
second time.
So these proceedings are concluded. We are off the record.
Yes. This concludes the formal hearing of OPA PA 17-001. Cortec International versus Department of Public Works. It is 3:17 p.m. Thank you.
Remedies.